All right. Well, I think it's a difficult topic this morning, and I didn't even want to tell you the truth. I didn't even want to approach the topic, but I felt like the Lord would have me do it. And the reason is because of the day we live. So this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Malachi. I'm going to have you turn quite a few times, actually. The book of Malachi and chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 15. Before we look at it, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we need you today, and we ask for your help, and we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, and we pray that you would, God, open our eyes and our hearts this morning, and may the name of Christ be lifted up. And God, may we draw closer to you, and may you have mercy on us, especially as a nation. And God, we ask that you bless your word. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for salvation. And God, thank you for everything. I want to be a thankful person, Lord. I want to be someone who praises your name for your goodness to us. And I ask that you help. In the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And my topic this morning is Pride Month. Pride Month. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you haven't been on the computer, you haven't looked at the news, you haven't read a newspaper, you haven't listened to the radio. Because we are constantly bombarded that June is Gay Pride Month. Gay Pride Month. And the prophet here says, yea, and now we call the proud happy. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And this sermon probably won't be too long. But the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer Pride Month is currently upon us, and it's celebrated each year in the month of June. And they've stolen the rainbow and made that their symbol, and it's prominently displayed throughout our country and throughout our media. And I personally believe that a lot of our churches, this is my own personal observation, I believe that a lot of our churches are just one generation away from accepting homosexuality as normal. I would go as far as to say that many churches are just one pastor away. The next pastor that comes in will not take a stand. There's a good chance in a lot of churches that the next pastor that comes in will not take a stand against the queer lifestyle. I used to be concerned that people would get upset when you used the word queer, but they call themselves that, so it doesn't bother me now. I said they were queer 50 years ago. I say they're queer now. And they agree. That's the Q in LGBTQ, queer. Bill Clinton was the first president to officially recognize Pride Month in 1999. Then, from 2009 to 2016, Barack Obama declared June LGBT Pride Month. And in May 2019, Donald Trump recognized Pride Month with a tweet announcing that his administration had launched a global campaign to decriminalize homosexuality. There is wickedness in high places in this country, if you didn't know it. As one man correctly stated, first we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote evil, then we celebrate evil, and then we persecute those who call it evil.
That's right.
That's the road that we have went down in this country.
Preach.
And what God calls evil, man, society has called good. They glory, as the Bible says, in their shame. They glory in their shame. They are proud in their sin. Gay pride. They're proud of it. They're proud of it. As Bible-believing Christians, we must be constantly reminded, because we're constantly bombarded by the world, we have to be constantly reminded that, number one, God's Word is true. That's the most important thing. I almost took this. I've got a whiteboard back here. Did you bring that back, Tim? Is that another one? Anyway, there's a whiteboard back here. I almost set the whiteboard up and wrote on the whiteboard, "But I think." Because a lot of people today, when you say what the Bible says, yeah, they'll say, "Yeah, but I think." I want to say, number one, God's Word is true.
Amen.
Number two, Sodom and Gomorrah are examples. Number three, homosexuality is a judgment. And number four, God is able to save. Thankfully, I've got one positive point. God is able to save. So, number one, God's Word is true. Psalm 119, turn with me, please, and we'll look at these things as quick as we can. Psalm 119, God's Word is true. Verse 69, Psalm 119 and verse 69. The Bible says, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." The proud, that's what we're up against. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Then verse 128. Of the same psalm, the Bible says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Every false way. God's Word is true. God's Word is true. What God says is so. If God says something is wrong, it's wrong. If God says something is sin, I don't care what it is, it's sin.
Yes.
The Bible is the Christian's authority. I think if I don't lay that foundation, nothing else matters.
Right.
If you don't have it in your heart that the Bible is your authority, then nothing else I'm going to say matters. The Bible is our authority.
Amen.
And God's Word is true. God's Word is true. It's so important that you understand that. Because everything else is changing around us. Everything else is constantly shifting. But God's Word doesn't move. It's fixed. It's settled in heaven. It's true. It doesn't bend. It doesn't change. God's Word is true. Society might change. Government might change. Churches might change. But God doesn't change. He's not going to change either, by the way. God's Word is true. Secondly, Sodom and Gomorrah are an example. Sodom and Gomorrah are an example. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. This may be the shortest message I've ever preached on video or audio. I've preached some short messages, but I don't think they've ever been recorded. In other words, I disliked preaching this so much, I just want to get it over with. This is not what I want to preach. But this is what I have to preach.
Preach on.
2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says this, "For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." I'm here to tell you today, the Bible says that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is a warning. It's an example. It's a warning not only to individuals, it's a warning to nations. It's a warning that God not only knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, He also knows how to deliver the ungodly to judgment. God's people, we're living in a very, I told a fellow the other day, I said, it used to be that you hardly knew of anybody that was a homosexual. You may have grown up your whole life and only knew maybe one or two. But now it's not uncommon for you to have homosexuals in your family, homosexuals in your workplace. What I'm saying is, it's increased and increased and increased. And it's not something that you can ignore anymore. Not only do they want you to accept it, they want you to celebrate it. I have no intentions in celebrating sin of any kind.
That's right.
I don't care if it's because you're shacking up with your girlfriend or if you steal from work or whatever it is you're doing. I'm not celebrating sin. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is a warning. Verse 6 says, "In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow." I want to tell you, the same God that overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah can overthrow this country.
Amen.
The same God that overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah can overthrow the cities that promote this. God is going to deal with the just and the unjust. It's nothing to be proud of. And Lot was vexed. I'm vexed. Sometimes I feel like Lot. Sometimes, when I say that, I mean that. I'm not trying to be. I'm telling you, sometimes I feel like Lot. By that, I mean this. I find myself getting sucked in to this world. I find myself being entertained by this world. I find myself thinking things about this world that I shouldn't think. I find myself wanting to compromise with the world. I'm just trying to tell you, we look at Lot and we say, oh man, that guy, Lot was a scoundrel. I'm telling you, I'm a scoundrel.
You're not alone.
If it wasn't for the grace of God, I could find myself in the same shape Lot was in.
Yep.
But this world vexes my righteous soul. There's a part of me that is put off by this world. There's a part of me that wants to get out of here. There's a part of me that it vexes me to see these things and to hear these things and to see them promoted. It vexes me. It breaks my heart. It hurts me. I hate my children having to come up in a world like this. I hate my grandchildren to have to come up in a world like this. Sodom and Gomorrah is not just a story in the Bible. The Bible says it's an example to those who live ungodly. It's an example. It's an example. Thirdly, homosexuality is a judgment. All my life I've heard that if we don't do this and that and the other, God's going to judge us. Well, I'm here to tell you that homosexuality is the judgment of God. It's not people are homosexual, so God's going to judge us. It's God has judged us with homosexuality.
That's good.
Look at Romans chapter 1. And by the way, sometimes you'll meet somebody and they'll say, well, that was Old Testament. Well, I'm here to tell you that the sin of homosexuality, like all the other sins, is also mentioned in the New Testament. It's not just Old Testament. Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. This so much reminds me of the day in which we live. We have crazy people running this country. Absolutely insane. Rubber room caliber. We got people that say they're not mothers, they're birthing people. We got people who believe men can have a baby. We've gone off the rails. Amen. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That is one of our problems, isn't it?
Amen.
There's some of these things you'd have to go to school to be that stupid. Somebody would have to teach you that, some of these things they're coming up with. It's humorous, but it's also sad, isn't it? Because these people are in control. These people, you tell me, who in the world would think it's fair for a man who says he's a woman to lift weights against a woman in competition or to race a lady in competition? That's where we're at today. I've noticed, though, listen, these people are hypocrites. I haven't seen any women college football players yet. You know how long they'd make it? They wouldn't make it very long. I'm here to tell you today, God made men different than women.
Yes.
They're not the same thing, and I thank God for that. I like women, amen. I like one in particular back there. God made us different, didn't he? God's word is true. Sodom and Gomorrah are an example, and homosexuality is a judgment. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I could go on down and read the rest of that, but I'll tell you this right here. I started studying that and looking at it. I've studied it many times, but I thought, well, I'll get some notes together. I went back into the past and tried to find what some of the previous preachers had said in the 1700s and 1800s. Can I tell you something? They skipped that part because they thought, who in the world needs to hear that? In other words, it was so, in their mind, it was so bad, they didn't even want to talk about it in mixed company. But we can't do that today. We have to address it.
Yes.
We have to address it. God said that he gave them up to uncleanness. God said that he gave them over. The elder, and I hate to even use their phraseology.
Yes.
But the LGBTQ lifestyle will not just bring judgment, it is judgment. When a nation or a people turn away from God, He lets them go sometimes. One fellow said, the worst thing can happen to you is for God to just leave you alone. God, the Bible says, gives them up. He gives them up. In other words, if I can say it this way, God says, okay, if that's what you want, have at it. I'm telling you, the restraining hand of God, we better have it. As individuals, we better have it. As a nation, we certainly need it. One man said, whenever any society or nation rejects the knowledge of God, it descends into unrestrained sexual immorality. I believe that to be true. Whenever any society or nation rejects the knowledge of God, it descends into unrestrained sexual immorality. In other words, God takes the brakes off. One preacher illustrated it. He said it's like a dump truck at the top of the hill. And God's got the brakes on. And he said, when people have decided they don't want God, they don't want him in the cab, God says, all right, takes his foot off the brake and jumps out of the truck, and guess where the truck goes? Right straight over the hill. What we are witnessing today in America is God has took his foot off the brake. And if God doesn't do something, we're doomed. We're doomed. Matthew Henry said in his commentary, though the wicked seem to prosper now, wait a while, and you shall see that those who work wickedness set up as a mark for the arrows of God's vengeance, and those that tempt God delivered to the tormentors. You know, it's a strange thing. When I say strange, I mean it's an inexplicable thing that the biggest companies and the biggest CEOs and the wealthiest people are homosexuals. Or if they're not homosexuals, they promote the homosexual lifestyle. The biggest companies. I mean, you think, well, I'm not going to buy a Ford because they promote homosexuality. Well, I got news for you. So does Chevy and Chrysler and Jeep and Toyota and Subaru. What are you going to do, walk? We are infiltrated with this stuff. You can't get away from it. You say, preacher, I don't like to hear this. Kind of depresses me. I'm sorry. I don't like serving it to you. But that's what God gave me today.
Preach.
Amen. It has to be said. You need to be reminded, because 300 days a year, or whatever it is, minus 7, 345 or 340, what is it? 48. You're being bombarded, aren't you? You're being bombarded every day. We're hearing 365 days a year. We're hearing that this is right, this is normal, this is what you got to accept. So every once in a while, you need to hear that it's wrong. And it's not normal. And this is not what we should accept. And I tell you, it creeps in everywhere. And it creeps in subtly. You know, for example, you probably work with somebody and you think, well, she's a nice person, or he's a nice guy. But it has nothing to do with how nice people are. It has to do with sin.
Yep.
You might say, well, I've got a grandchild or a niece or a nephew or even a son or a daughter that are homosexuals. That doesn't change anything. That does not change this book. As tragic as that is, Listen, one of the things that breaks my heart is I understand, I'm glad we're having a grandbaby. But I understand that there's a good chance one of these days I'm going to get the news that one of my grandkids or one of my great-grandkids is a homosexual. Don't you be foolish enough to say that'll never happen in my family. I'm telling you, there ain't no getting away from it. God's word is true, isn't it? And Sodom and Gomorrah are an example. And homosexuality will not bring judgment. Homosexuality is a judgment. It is a judgment. It's where a nation, where a people throw off God. Have we not thrown off God? Have we not said, God, leave us alone as a nation? Number four, I want to tell you that God is able to save.
Amen.
God is able to save. You know, when I was younger, when I was a teenager even, when I was going to church, there were people, and back then, homosexuals were in San Francisco, and that's about it. I mean, really. I mean, there were some around here, but it wasn't prevalent. And back then, preachers, I've heard more than one preacher get up and say that if you're a homosexual, you can't be saved. Did you ever hear that? Well, I got news for you. That's not exactly right. I'm glad that's not exactly right.
Yes.
Now, I do believe that there is, according to Romans 1, I just read to you, God gives them over. There is a point in time, I think God stops fooling with them. I think God says, okay, that's it. Where is that point in time? I have no idea. And by the way, that could go for a lot of things. Not just homosexuality. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, turn there, I want you to read this with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 9. The Bible says, know ye not, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Question mark. Now I want you to ponder that for a minute before we go on. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, now don't you know that the unrighteous are not going to heaven? I want to ask you today, did you know that? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. In other words, Paul said, don't be fooled. If you think the unrighteousness are going to heaven, you're fooled. Let me say it again. If you think you can live a lifestyle like that and go to heaven, you're deceived. And I'm telling you right now, every church in West Virginia, every church in this nation, every preacher that still preaches the gospel needs to thunder that out.
Yes.
Be not deceived. Then he gives a list. Fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's the homosexual lifestyle. Those two phrases there. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Ian Paisley called this roadblocks to heaven. In other words, if you're living this kind of lifestyle with no repentance, then you're not going. You're not going. Some of y'all, I'm almost a little hesitant to use this illustration, but it's such a good illustration. I was reading this one time, and as I was reading this, this lady kept going, and finally I stopped and looked at her and said, I didn't write it, I'm just reading it. I didn't write that, I'm just reading it. Because some people just can't hardly handle this.
Preach.
So what I'm doing, I'm shoving it down your gullet. Because you need it. You ever try to give a cat a pill? That's what I'm doing. God is able to save. I'm glad Paul didn't stop there. And by the way, I'm on that list lots of times probably. And such were some of you. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God saves sinners. I'm so glad that God saves homosexuals. I'm so glad that God saves fornicators. I'm so glad that God saves drunkards. I'm glad God saves thieves. I'm glad God saves adulterers. I'm glad God saves blasphemers. I'm glad God saves. The good news. I got good news. Amen. I gave you a lot of bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Listen, God changes lives, doesn't He? God can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And I want to tell you, there's hope for the vilest sinner that'll come to Him. We forget that. You meet somebody and you say, man, that person's a mess. They need the Lord. Yeah, they're a mess, and so are you. They need the Lord. Our opening text said, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You know, sometimes you look around and you think, look at how the wicked prosper. Look at all the struggles I'm going through. Look at all the troubles I'm having, and look at how they're doing good. Do you ever think that? Sure you do. But I'm here to tell you today, those people aren't gay. I'm not going to dwell on this much, but I want to tell you, they may be proud, but they're not happy.
Right.
Statistics show that the suicide rate amongst the homosexuals is very high. The drug abuse is very high. The alcoholism is very high. The domestic violence is very high. Those people are not gay. They're not gay. They stole that word like they stole the rainbow. But I'm glad that there's hope. I'm glad that there's hope. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You think of the worst person you know, that's the kind of person Jesus came into the world to save. He came to save sinners. I love that old hymn. I love that old hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And the hymn writer said, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. I'm not here to judge people. I'm not here to point my finger at people and say you're this and I'm better. I'm here to tell you we're all just sinners.
Yep.
And we need the Lord. And there's no sense patting people on the back and telling them they're okay when they're not okay. I'm not saying I've worked around homosexuals. I've never been mean to a homosexual. What I'm saying is, that's not the answer. They are in sin. They're in sin. I got news for you though. If you witness to them, they'll probably be mean to you. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So, in closing, I want to ask you, have you believed on the Son? Have you believed on the Son? Do you know how many people in this world are looking for something? Do you know how many people you come across every day, you run across in public that are looking for something? They don't really understand, but they're trying to fill a void in their life. And they're taking drugs and they're drinking and they've got all kinds of sexual immorality going on because they're looking for something. I'm telling you what people need. They need the Lord. They need the Lord. And it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to witness. It's our responsibility to go into this world and preach the gospel to every creature. You want to change the country? Don't join the political party. You want to change this country? It's going to be through this book. Amen. It's going to be through God. I'm telling you right now, that whole bunch up in Washington is all corrupt. You say, "I'm a Republican." I don't care what you are. They're all corrupt. You say, "I'm a Democrat." I don't care what you are. They're all corrupt. They're all a mess. they're like some lawyers I've seen. I saw some lawyers. They was in the courtroom fighting each other. And then after the trial was over, they sat down at the bar drinking together. That's the way that bunch of that politicians up in Washington, that's the way they do. They fight each other and put on a big show. And then they all hobnob together. That's what I think. It's as fake as WWF. Or what, WWE, that's what it is, isn't it? I never watched it. That wrestling junk. It's all planned. We need the Lord.
Amen.
We need the Lord. Our churches need the Lord. And you and I need the Lord to walk in this crazy world every day.
Yes.
I don't know if you've noticed or not, but people are just absolutely vulgar.
Yeah.
It used to be that people would watch their mouth around a woman, but the women got as bad mouths as the men. We're living in it's a vulgar time, isn't it? It's a vulgar time. I'm glad that there's a cure. There's a cure. Jesus Christ is the answer, isn't he? He's the answer. If you had the cure to cancer and you didn't tell anybody, that'd be kind of mean of you, wouldn't it? We've got the cure to this world. And yet we don't tell people. That's not very good of us, is it? You say, "Well, I would have said something, but they'll make fun of me." That's not a very good excuse, is it?
No.
We may not say that out loud, but we've said that, haven't we? That's not a good excuse. I don't think that's going to stand before God. I really don't. We need to tell people. Tell people in love. Just like Jesus did.